So I have this friend who's a priest. He's a terrific liturgist. He's a dynamic public speaker. And he started doing the circuit. In this profession, if you're pretty good at what you do and if you promote yourself, a priest can get speaking gigs all over the country. Good gigs, extra income, free travel, a little notoriety. And my friend went all in. He's got good stories, and I enjoy hearing about it. My favorite, though, is from his greatest failure. He was doing a thing called worship from the heart. I've actually heard his shtick on that. It's really good, which is why I was surprised that it was a failure. But he hadn't researched the group that he was speaking to. He was talking about sometimes departing from the printed page and praying spontaneously. But he was speaking to an audience mostly made up of members of the Prayer Book Society. And just to be clear, those folks don't even like the 79 prayer book. They think it all went south when we left 28. They did not want to hear what my friend had to say. One of the risks for any public speaker is you've got to know your audience. It's true even for Jesus. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds. But when it is grown, it grows into the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that birds of the air come and make nests in his branches. That sounds so good, right? Well, sure, but not if you are a first century farmer. You open with that parable, when and where Jesus was speaking, and some percentage of the crowd probably gets right up and leaves, disgusted, offended, repulsed. How do we know that? Well, how about Pliny the Elder? Do you remember Pliny? Is your Western Civ class coming back to you? He was a Roman statesman. He lived from 23 to 79 AD, basically a contemporary of Jesus and the New Testament. He is best remembered, I suppose, for his tragic attempted rescue of a friend at the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, where he lost his own life and was unable to save his friend. But Pliny's more lasting impact is that he left us the single largest volume of writing from the entire Roman period. Pliny gave us the world's first encyclopedia, Naturalis Historia, written in 37 books and finished in the year 77, is the greatest collection of ancient knowledge that we have, and it includes mustard seeds. Pliny records for us that mustard grows entirely wild, though it is improved by being transplanted. But on the other hand, he says, when it has once been sown, it is scarcely possible to get the place free of it. Pliny goes on to extol some of the medicinal values of it, but he warns again against it taking over. And furthermore, attracts birds, which may decimate any crops intended for harvest. In fact, a mustard seed was the bane of a farmer's existence. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, you can't get rid of it. You see what I mean? That sounds horrible to a farmer. It is a real threat to the bottom line. A farmer would want no part of it. So what, you say? So what? For us, it's entirely different. For us, this is a beautiful parable about how the kingdom of God can start with such small things. For us, it gives hope as we wait for God to act in a troubling and difficult world. For us, it helps us look at the small blessings around us and remember that God is leading always to bigger and better things. True. All true, but that is not the way I want you to hear it this morning. Because honestly, this is a parable that you must face as a farmer. Because the kingdom of God is intrusive. Just as a mustard seed spreads uncontrolled in a field, the decision, the real decision to strive for God's kingdom brings all sorts of unintended and sometimes uncontrollable consequences. If you say yes to God, I mean really say yes, not in some moment of head-bowed piety, but with real commitment, God only knows what will happen. You might need to leave your comfort zone entirely and change the direction of your life to go where God is calling you. You might need to give up control of everything and just let things happen. You might need to reach out to someone who has really hurt you and try to mend the relationship. You might have to give more of your income to the work of God than the little you give now. You might even have to trust, really trust, the God to whom you pay lip service. The point is this: I don't know what will happen if you let God's mustard seed germinate in your field, and you do not know either. But you have to face it. Today you are a farmer. You own a field. A mustard seed threatens. But that's not the whole story either, because there is also a treasure, God's treasure, hidden deep inside your field. And if you find it, I guarantee you this: in 5 minutes' time, after discovering what God really has in store for you, you will welcome that mustard seed and those birds, and you will never, ever look back.